Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me here in the year 2024, and I'm about to be in Sydney and Brisbane. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May, doing my show Dryer Dryer at the respective comedy festivals in those cities. But I'm also, while I'm up there, I figured I had a couple of days to kill, so I'm doing a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart on Monday, the 13th of May at the Chippendale Hotel, and in Brisbane at Good Chat Comedy on the 14th of May. And you can get tickets for all of that. Now, go to mattstewartcomedy.com for the links. mattstewartcomedy.com. Now, on with the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates and popular culture from chimpanzee all the way down to chimpanzee. This week on the show, joining us in the Monkey House, it's stand-up comedian, writer for Sean McCullough's Mad as Hell, and host of the Planet Broadcasting podcast, Two in the Think Tank, and Shusha, it's Alistair Tremblay-Birchall.
Hello, it's me from Two in the Think Tank podcast and Shusha Guided Meditations.
It's so good to have you in here.
Matthew, it is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me to be here with you today to speak about our relatives, the apes and monkeys.
Yeah, those great apes and the lesser apes, who I still think are pretty great.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's just a name, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't take away from their qualities because of many great apes, and one in particular that I'm thinking about today, you know, sometimes aren't so great.
Yeah.
You know, they do bad things and we can't forget that.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, it's like anything. There are good and bad lizards, you know?
That's right.
Good and bad human beings who are also
a type of lizard.
A type of lizard.
Yeah.
Or the lizard people are, sure.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't forget that, those bloody shapeshifters. Oh, I should say that, Al, that's a good point. If there are any lizard people shapeshifters listening to the program right now, I want you to turn it off. This is not for you. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Whoa.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that.
That's segregation.
Oh, well. Okay. You could put it in that way and it makes me sound like a bad person.
Sure.
But, I feel pretty strongly about
and
that.
And you know what? And I call you Great Matt Stewart to people. The Great Matt Stewart.
Do you really?
Like that. But that doesn't mean that within you there isn't a bad Matt Stewart.
That's true.
And I'm thinking of one in particular. You.
Yeah, me. I'm that one. You know, we've all got fragmented identities. And one of those fragmented identities is the public me, which is a bad person.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's the me at home, the me that my friends know, the me my family knows, the public me, which is the worst of all.
I've always thought about you in terms of, I know that deep down you're a good person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's so far deep down.
Oh, I mean, look, on the surface, you could be a good person too.
Yeah.
But deep down, you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, there's a layer that's good, then a big, thick, bad layer.
Yeah.
It's gone bad. It's rotting.
Absolutely, yeah. It kind of looks like pork belly, right? So there's that kind of hardened good bit on the outside.
The crackling?
Which is
that what it is?
Yeah, that's the crackling. But this is, for you, it's your plastered on smile.
Yeah.
And then there's that kind of thick bit of fat. Right. In this case, I'm saying that fat is a bad thing.
Right.
But modern diets and modern science have taught us that fat is not as actually as bad. In many ways, it would be better if that was sugar.
Yeah.
Because we can't really say a lot of good things about sugar.
No, but there are good fats. Avocados,
et
cetera. You know, the list goes on.
And then there's some proper meat down there, which is your good self down deep in the pork belly.
Yeah, that's the good meat.
Yeah.
Get right deep down in that good meat.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I know, I appreciate you saying that and coming here into a public forum and backing me in this way.
Matt, it's the only place that I bother.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Your podcast Shusha has been helping me immensely getting to sleep of an evening.
Really?
Yeah, I've had trouble in the past, and I really do appreciate the work that you've been doing.
Matthew, it means a lot to me. It's been a project of love, but also of, you know, soothing others. That's what I, you know, that is my love.
Yeah.
And speaking slowly, but in a way humorously.
That's what I like about it. At first, you know, you're enjoying the humor, but as slowly it's like entrancing and the words start floating away. And next thing I know, it's the morning and I feel refreshed.
Well, and I would love to say in this non-paid for plug that, this is an admission that I'm going to make, Matt.
Is this not paid for?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
Except, I'm so sorry, Matt.
Well, it's okay.
Oh man, I didn't mean to disappoint you in the middle of the plug.
Is this a plug? I thought I hadn't seen you in a while. I thought it was a nice time to let you know.
I mean, I guess I called it a plug. Maybe it was just a compliment.
Why are you putting everything in such grotty terms?
You're right. You're right. It's because deep down I'm a bad person.
Right.
Yeah, but on the surface, also bad. But in there, there's a layer of fat.
Yeah.
Good fat.
If I cut you open, you can see how old you are based on the layers of badness.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every year I'm bad for about 1 month. I was just going to say that with Shusher Guided Meditations, that is my podcast that we're not plugging currently.
Well, now it feels like it is a plug.
I mean, I know, but this is an embarrassing admission, is that I have listened to it myself and I've been relaxed by it.
And that's powerful.
Yeah, I know that you shouldn't get high on your own stash, right? But I have.
You've gotten high on your own supply.
Yeah.
That does feel, because I don't know anyone who enjoys listening to themselves.
I think that it's because of the backing track that my friend made.
Right.
That is actually the part that makes me relax.
Have you got there? Mitchell Burke?
Yeah, Mitchell Burke.
You got Mitchell Burke?
I got Mitchell Burke.
What a guy.
Yeah. He made it for me about 8 years ago for like a stand-up spot I was doing where I was like, I might experiment with doing a guided meditation.
I remember that.
Yeah, right.
That was a great bit.
Oh, thanks so much.
It was one of the greatest bits.
Oh.
But yeah, so that, I mean, that I don't think you get any greater plug, as you know, to call it, in your dirty sort of...
Did you say that there was a chance we were going to attach an episode of this to the end of this episode?
Well, yeah, if you're cool with that, I'd love to chuck one at the end.
I am going to allow this, Matt, but only because I have so much love for you.
Thank you so much. Love and light. Love and white light.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of thing you're starting to say now?
I am working on one that does talk about having a light inside you.
Just before I had because I've been listening to some more legit meditations as well.
Okay.
And they do talk about light inside of you a bit.
Yeah.
But yours makes me feel a little less weird.
Embarrassed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sincerity in meditation. Like, I think it's cool. Anyway. What are we talking about?
Well,
I
should we're here to talk about apes.
Right, that's right. And I should say because I don't like listening back to myself, one of the main reasons, I don't really edit these podcasts.
Great.
So I'm guessing all that will stay in.
Well, that's amazing.
But today you're here to talk about a new, like maybe this, if people like it, we'll make this a recurring sort of episode where we talk about weird monkey stories from the news, true stories.
Absolutely.
And I'm saying monkeys, but they could potentially be other primates, maybe apes as well.
Okay, sure. What about great apes?
Great apes could be in there if they ever got up to anything weird. I'm not sure they would.
No, I doubt it. A lot of the time, they're just being like us.
Yeah.
You know, they think they're people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It thinks it's people. That's fun. But do you have any personal experience with primates being weird?
Well, I mean, I was at the zoo recently and...
The Melbourne Zoo?
Melbourne Zoo.
Do you have the three-park super pass?
I have a yearly pass.
I think that gets you into the big three. Yeah.
Yeah, well, great.
Hillsville. Melbourne.
Yeah.
Werribee Open Range.
Werribee, I think, is where it's at. And I know somebody that we know works there.
Yeah.
And she's always got photos of her, like, touching a rhino.
Really?
Yeah. Which is not an ape, but, I mean, just to have a kind of any kind of emotional connection or even physical connection
to a rhino
just seems like that's one of the highest aspirations a person didn't realize they wanted.
Yeah. Cause I'm hoping to get her on this podcast at some point, but she has said to me that she can't mention that she works there.
Yeah, right. Well, so, then I'm so glad that we haven't mentioned her name.
Yeah.
So I was at the Melbourne Zoo. Yep. And I was in with the orangutans.
Ah, you also have trouble with this. Yeah. Well,
it's orangutan.
Yeah, apparently it means man of the forest.
Well, that first word really looks a lot like orange.
Orange, yeah. Doesn't and they it? Are orange yeah. colored. I was talking last week, my guest was an American named Erica, who works with primates. That's her day job. She said,
Seems like a weird kind of person to have on this podcast.
It did feel a little odd.
Someone who knows something? yeah, right.
It did feel real strange. Yeah. But yeah, it was weird to be outranked on my own podcast, because normally I'm the number one primatologist on the show.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was happy to, you know, bow down as you do to a high ranking primatologist.
You're the silverback of this pod.
Yeah, yeah.
But did she sort of hold her ground?
She did, yeah. Yeah.
Did you charge?
No, I ended up, much like in Planet of the Apes, when Cobra, did he seed control by showing his palm upwards to Caesar, aka Andy Serkis. The king of all apes, the greatest ape.
Does anybody in real life ever show their palm to Andy Serkis as a sign of saying, you know, telling him that he's great?
I tell you what, I would.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that, but and I bet you he would look at me like, not again.
Yeah.
Because I imagine that probably happens every day.
Yeah. Well, I was at this zoo, orangutan.
Yes.
Orangutan, right? You heard of him?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, great. Big orange things. Right. And there's one had the Australian flag wrapped around it.
What?
You know,
like a cape?
Yeah, like a cape. And for people who are not from Australia who are here, that has kind of, I mean, maybe this is what's happening in other countries anyway, but that is that definitely developed a symbol of kind of patriotism, but also a sort of a racism is usually so
like an over the top patriotism.
Yeah, over the top that. Like someone's about to get hit kind of patriotism.
Normally, yeah. It's I mean, the classic time was there was a riot on the beach, and that's sort of like the iconic images, drunk guys with capes.
Yeah.
That are a national flag. And that's what I guess that's what the army people fought for.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, it's the morphing of symbols, you know? Yeah. You can't stop a symbol morphing. The Mighty Morphin Symbol Rangers.
You know, as much as you might want to. So I'm just looking this up.
It's a shame, really, that the lizards have stopped listening, the people shape-shifting lizards, because they would have loved that symbol shape-shifting.
That would have been right up their alley.
Yeah.
That is weird, because it's weird for me to actively, you know, discourage listeners.
Yeah.
Who knows how many I've cost myself there. Just before your sweet shusha plug as well.
Yeah.
But apparently orangutan, it's derived from the Indonesian words orang, meaning person, and hutan, meaning forest. So it's person of the forest.
Yeah, right. Isn't that crazy that it's got the word orang that is, what would you say, 6/7 of orange? And that's their color? And it's not related. It means person.
Yeah.
Unless a person is somehow, I mean, like, I don't know what the chances are of Indonesian words having sort of English French kind of roots, but there is did Indonesia get invaded by Spain or something like that at some point?
Probably.
You know? I'm thinking of the Philippines, probably.
Let me look up Indonesia. You keep telling your story, and I'll look this up.
Well, this orangutan was To be honest, I told you the whole story, but but I can think of other things that I've seen. Anytime you see an orangutan move, maybe I can just do it in a guided meditation. I want you to think about orangutans, and specifically what it would be like to be friends with an orangutan. How do you think that would make you feel? How would that change how your parents see you? Do you think that they would be more proud or less? That's the kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I guess so.
So it looks like maybe the Dutch. The Dutch maybe. It says on the Wikipedia. Have you heard of Wikipedia? It's this great resource online on the internet, via your computer or smartphone or device.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, and you go on there and it has a lot of information about different topics.
Right, so it's like a book or something.
It's sort of like a book online.
Okay.
But like an endless
book. Like an e-book.
Like an e-book.
Okay.
It's like an e-encyclopedia book.
Okay, right.
Online.
Right. Yeah, right, right. And you get a copy every month or?
Well, you can get
a volume.
Yeah, you get a volume.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to. But you can get a volume any time. That's a good. You can wait every month, but you could also, you know, check in the meantime. Don't be a stranger. That's often what the Wikipedia guy says.
It's strange the Dutch are involved now because they have a strong connection to the color orange.
They do.
Yeah.
That's their national color.
Is that what they call people?
Do you think this goes all the way to the top?
I mean, it feels like we're breaking something big here.
Something big's happening. I reckon someone listening will be like, we're busted. They'll be like shredding documents now. The whole office will be shutting down. People will be flying off in helicopters, I reckon.
Mm, no, absolutely. Yeah, definitely helicopters.
Potentially some of those people will be orangutans.
I mean, they could save time by just shredding the documents in the propeller of the helicopter they're going.
That'd be way more efficient.
Yeah.
Now they're probably doing that.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Don't help out these. I bet some of them are lizard people.
Oh, well.
What have you done?
Oh, no, that's okay. I mean, if they're still listening, you shouldn't now push them away.
Okay. No, welcome back. It's so good to have you here. You've been on the show a couple times before, Alistair.
Yeah, man.
And in the past, I would have asked you what your favorite primate is. Has that remained constant?
I mean, I've always loved the gibbon.
Yeah.
And I mean, I might shift from gibbon to gibbon.
Yeah, that's a gibbon.
You know, yeah, absolutely. I do like the Simiang ones.
Simiang.
They're Simiang gibbons, I think.
Yeah, right.
But okay. I think I probably made a gibbon sound last time because the Simiang, the pairings, the couples, they make a song together and it's unique. And then I think they're young. That call that their two parents do, that kind of becomes their call.
Right.
Their baby.
Oh, wow. So it's like they're hyphenating names. Surnames.
It's exactly like it. Like this is like Trombley Birchall.
Right.
And I think there's the two at the Melbourne Zoo. One goes like this. Like you can see really inflates his neck, but he goes.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Like that. And then the other one comes and goes. Like that, you know. So that's the two playing together.
Oh, they're quite different.
Yeah, I was
expecting them to be like almost in differentiable to the human ear.
No. But to our ear, you can almost tell there. Yeah,
they are differentiable.
Differentiable,
as they say. Anyhow, so other the gibbon, I love that. I think that's a fantastic.
Yeah, it's a beautiful animal.
That's a beautiful animal. Beautiful suggestion.
And they're so nimble. I think that's what I love about them. They seem freer than skateboarders.
Really?
Yeah.
Even freer than skateboarders.
Well, skateboarders seem so free, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They can fly through the air. They can go. You know, the fact that they're not, you know, when they're riding along the footpath, that they're not just constantly stopping going, sorry, oh, excuse me, like that. They just kind of
lean around you.
They lean around.
They won't move their body language or anything. They'll just sort of like swoop around you.
They'll just like, I accept that this is going to go well. Well, a gibbon is even freer than that because they're free in three dimensions.
Wow, free in three. Free in all three. last time you were in, you were talking about skateboarding when we talked about most vertical primate.
Mm.
It was all about a chimpanzee who would skateboard or did at the very end of the movie. Anyway, go back and listen to that if you haven't already. But we also found out that episode, the listeners did, that you were in a band called Skateboard. What is it with you and skateboards?
I admire the skateboard. I really hold the skateboard up. And I've never skateboarded. That's the thing, is that I've attempted a couple times and hurt myself in a way that I don't understand how quickly it happened. I just, at some point I wake, like it's like I get on the skateboard and I instantly black out and I wake up a millisecond later and I'm sort of horizontal or at least diagonal. And I go, oh, there's no way of getting out of this fall. Like that. And so I just don't know. It happens so fast.
We should film you trying to get on a skateboard soon because that feels ready to go viral, whatever that is.
I have a child now and I can't. I just can't risk. I'm going to die. It's like that's how quick it happens.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe you should. Maybe you should.
But I mean, if it's for a YouTube video, it might be worthwhile.
You know,
I
could get a few. Could get a few.
I mean, I think already the people hurting themselves on skateboards market is pretty crowded.
Maybe you could, as you go down, mention Shusha guided meditations.
That would be a goddamn good idea, Matt.
Yeah. I'm falling, but I'm relaxed due to...
You're my 100... You're 100% of my marketing plan.
Great. Well, it feels good to be involved. Now, Norm, we were going almost 20 minutes without talking about what the topic of today is.
Sure.
This is probably the longest we've got gone through, but I mean, this has been very primate heavy.
Absolutely. I mean, we're dipping in and out.
There is
some context still.
Yeah. Our toes are in. But this week, we're going to be talking about, I think this episode is going to be called something like Weird Monkey Stories.
I love that.
But like I said, we don't, as yet, I'm not sure what stories you brought in. So maybe they're not all monkey related. But I thought I'd kick it off. I've just done a bit of a Google and come up with a few. And if people do like this, please send in ideas for short, wacky, monkey and otherwise primate stories.
It's sort of like an anthology episode.
Yeah. This is volume one, much like Wikipedia do. So the first story I was going to talk about, and I don't think it is even really technically at all about a primate, but the headline got me in. And I haven't read the article, but let's read it together.
Great.
The headline is, "Bizarre piglet with the face of a monkey born in China, but family decide to raise it like a baby."
Oh, my God.
This is on news.com.au.
That's a reputable, like, you know, only the most reputable of institutions would actually be able to claim that.
Isn't that, that's a wild story? Because, I mean, it's new. So, it is like an actual, it's an actual news site. It's not the most reputable, sure, but it is. Somewhat reputable, maybe. I mean, there slightly are, reputable.
I guess what's amazing about it is that there's the mention of three types of creatures in there, right? It's a pig, but it has a monkey's face, but they're raising it as a baby, and I'm assuming a baby human.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't specify. What other animals are called babies when they're babies? Because pigs are piglets.
Yeah, right.
But dogs are puppies.
But you know, like, how kids become toddlers?
Yeah.
You know, babies become toddlers. Is piglet maybe like the toddler part? And could you be a pig baby?
Oh, right. Because on that episode of Seinfeld, there was the pig man.
Pig man.
Right.
So you can have it. So they do become men at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know that. Look, that's all we know. We're not working with a lot of data points.
No. I'll give you a couple of paragraphs. But really, I don't know how much this is worth talking about, but anyway.
I think it's a good first one, though.
Yeah. Let's just ease our way in.
Yeah.
If you go to the swimming pool, are you jumping in or are you wading in?
Yeah, I'm wading.
You're a wader.
No, actually, I lay down on the side of the pool and then I go in head first and slide in like a seal.
Like a seal. Yeah. There's video of that online. Yeah. Is that publicly available?
Might be on Facebook.
Yeah.
But if people message me, I'll accept your request and I'll find it and I'll send it to you.
Great.
Yeah.
I think that's a beautiful gesture. So this article says, a tiny piglet born with the face of a monkey has baffled not only locals, but the internet too. Can you imagine? That's the two big sort of scientific groups.
Well, it's the inner and the outer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Micro, macro.
Absolutely.
According to The Sun, pictures show that the mutant piglet appears to have a monkey's head, a small snout, and a protruding lower jaw. In one photo, the monkey piglet can be seen being fed like a baby at the home of its owner in Guizhou province, China. Okay, so I mean, they're basically reporting off a photo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you think that the fact that they're raising it like a baby is
this one photo.
They've based that entirely off the photo. But people also don't hold babies like that.
No.
Well, I mean, I've seen a few people hold a baby like that, but it's called
by the throat?
Yeah, but it's like, I think it's like where you have your arm underneath it and it's called like the leopard hold or something like that. Hold, and you kind of, where their arms dangle down like that. But that's
I want to rename it from the leopard hold to the monkey face piglet baby hold.
I think that's great. And then people will start reporting on that saying people are raising this sort of baby faced human child as a monkey faced pig baby.
Yeah. Well, that's my first.
All right.
First cab off the rank. Do you have one to hit us with?
Well, Matt, I do have one. I'm going to just kick us off into, there's a monkey called Satisuk from Dao. familiar with this monkey?
No, I'm not familiar with this guy.
I mean, I think Fromdao is its last name.
Okay.
And I think it might have the last name of the person who found him.
Right.
Found him injured.
They're not the Rhode Island Fromdaos?
I'm not sure if they're from Rhode Island. This is a Thai man. He's a Thai policeman.
Right.
Who, I guess, adopted it and made this this pigtailed macaque. Which they're raising as a baby. Which I think he, I mean...
What is going on?
I don't know. Well, it is also monkey-faced.
Okay.
It's a monkey-faced, pigtailed macaque.
That is...
That a
is
man
that
is raising. I mean...
So both of them have pigtail... Like, because my pig, my monkey-faced pig also had a pigtail.
Yeah, that's right. And it was being raised by a man?
Yeah.
Well, this man also raising it, or at least befriended it.
Okay.
But he also gave it a job, which is what this story is about, man.
Right, okay.
This man, this police officer, made this Thai monkey a police officer as well.
Okay.
And he made him a little jersey, and it says Monkey Police on it. And I think it says that initially he just got him to, he trained him to be able to go get, like, coconuts and I think some drinks from, like, but it didn't specify exactly, and I think the wording was a bit weird in that it seemed to be implying that maybe he was teaching it to steal from the locals, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay,
the case, but where this monkey has become useful, apparently in Thailand there were some separatist insurgents, right. Look, I'm from Quebec, you know, or at least I used to live in Quebec in Canada, and over there we hate separatists.
Right. You're so about unity.
I'm all about unity. And so I can really relate. I can really relate to these Thai people who hate separatists. But I think also these separatists are being quite violent. And anyway, there was these security checkpoints on the road so they could check cars. But that was making people quite, you know, they get aggro. They get a little bit upset. They're like, oh, why are you checking? I haven't done anything wrong. Why are you looking at my car? Or whatever like that. About my liberties. And so this was causing a lot of problems. But now this wasn't the initial intention with Satisuk, this pig-tailed macaque. But what happened was when they had the monkey there, they'd walk it up and down, and people waiting in line would be so distracted by this monkey, and they'd get out and get photos with it, that it just became this amazing public relations ploy.
Right.
And you know, suddenly now, you know, man and cop are getting along. Cop and monkey are getting along. It's like hands across America, except Thailand.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a happy story.
It's a happy story, but I don't know if the monkey, you know, we don't know what the monkey else it's doing on the beat.
Right.
You know, and I don't know if it's allowed to arrest people. Or,
I wonder.
But it has official uniform.
Does it seem like he's happy in his work?
Apparently, they say that he's very happy. Apparently he sits in the car and he looks out the window and he nods a lot.
Oh, yeah, that's a real sign of happiness.
Yeah.
Looking out the window, nodding, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, because my first instinct is often kind of animal cruelty.
Sure.
You know, using an animal for a weird job against their will.
Sure, but you use dogs.
Yeah.
You know, you use dogs in police work.
Yeah, I do, but...
You know, and you know, and what's... What's a step up from a dog? I think he has a little leash for it.
Okay, is that meant to make me feel better? But
well, I guess there's less chance of the monkey getting away
and
hurting itself.
Oh, okay.
In a way that is not the police officer's fault.
Well, he's probably seen a lot of things. He's seen a lot of things on the monkey beat.
This is what often happens, right? You know, if animals are out in the wild and they hurt themselves, we don't care about that. Right, yeah. We don't speak up about that's animal on animal.
Nature take its course.
I would say it's turning a blind eye to animal on animal violence.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's definitely another angle.
But if a person, you know, keeps these animals in their sort of farm or whatever, and they get very hurt there, suddenly it's the man's fault for not having good conditions for these animals.
Okay, you're bringing a little bit of logic to this.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. You're not bringing any logic to this.
Yeah, well, either one.
that's a fascinating story. I do not know how I feel about it.
No.
It feels like a year ago, I would have been like, this is a lot of fun. And now I feel like I'm starting to care a lot about monkeys' welfare.
Yeah, right. Do you think there's something in your life that happened that's made you more invested?
I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. It just seemed to have happened gradually over the last 6 or so months. But
yeah.
Is that all you got from that story?
I'm really sorry that was. But the one detail that I thought was interesting was that it when it mentioned that he would this public relations ploy is that they said this was not the monkey's original intent.
Right. Oh, which, so what was it?
Which makes you think that there's other intents for this monkey.
Okay.
You know, and that's what I like is the mystery there, because I love a mystery story. I love Agatha Christie.
It feels a little bit like he just picked up a monkey and then he's figuring it out as he goes.
Absolutely.
And it got lucky, which meant that this is now a story. How many cops around the world have picked up monkeys that haven't had a happy public relations ending like this?
Absolutely. But also, he's not just lucky in terms of having a monkey that's willing, you know, that's not hurting him and that's, you know, well, we don't know if it's not hurting him. But like getting a monkey that is sort of successfully working with him as a cop, but also having like a sort of a police superior who's not cutting this out instantly and just going, I'm sorry, the police department insurance is not going to cover a monkey.
Yeah.
And,
isn't an 80s buddy cop film.
Absolutely. This is not.
It does feel like the plot from a Tom Hanks film. I'm thinking Turner and Hooch probably in particular, but that was a dog, like you said. Or Canine with Jim Belushi and a dog, I believe.
Yeah.
There's probably there's probably more buddy cop films where one of the characters is a dog, but probably also with a chimp.
Was Turner or Pooch the dog?
I think Hooch.
Oh, Hooch.
Hooch.
Oh, sorry, that was Turner and Pooch.
Hooch. Yeah, Pooch. No, Pooch was Tom Hanks.
Yeah, right.
I found a story. I didn't have this on my list, but your story reminded me of one because I was in Perth last month for the Fringewell Festival. And a few people, unfortunately, I don't have their names with me now, but they sent me a link to this Perth story titled Guerrilla Warfare. Perth's Cop Kong Helps Police Catch Applecross Sex Pest.
Wow, there's so much information.
There's a lot in that. Both of my headlines have been a paragraph long. So this goes back to last month in February. It says an outraged woman has resorted to extreme lengths to reclaim her suburb and help police catch an alleged brazen sex pest accused of exposing himself to terrified women while riding a bike along the foreshore in Applecross. The woman, who wanted to remain anonymous, claims she'd been confronted by the man multiple times while walking in the park. And has spoken to other women who have had the same encounters. She said, I was really upset when I found out that other women were feeling just as terrified as I was. One woman I spoke to told me she was never going back to that park. So what she ended up doing, though, was she ended up dressing up as a gorilla in a cop uniform and put up signs everywhere saying, Cop Kong is patrolling this area. She did that. And she patrolled the area, ended up getting photographic evidence of the man, and he got arrested.
Wow. I mean, this is one of the happiest monkey stories I've ever seen. Sorry, great ape stories.
Thank you. Yeah. It's safe. Yeah, so I love that she went. I mean, yeah, it was an interesting sort of angle to take, the dressing up as a gorilla.
That is an interesting angle.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I look, to be honest, when you were reading that out, you know, when you read out the last few words, I was thinking, what is the interesting part of this story? I went, was it the fear, that the terror that guy spread around the city? I couldn't put my finger on it anyway.
Right. Well, yeah, I think it was, yeah, she named herself Cop Kong. And I obviously don't want to make light of this. Obviously, this guy's allegedly no good, obviously.
Sure.
I'm saying allegedly because I think that's what this article says. But obviously no good, but it was just a real, I thought that was cool, sort of taking a bit of power back and working in a gorilla into the narrative.
I guess it's because, I mean, there's an element in which she was hiding her own identity.
Yeah, that's right. And it's kind of just like the classic, the superhero, what do you call, like Batman, he hides his identity. He's what do you call those people? You know, the person who goes out, they're a vigilante. Oh, vigilante justice.
Sure. But, I mean, she really became a vigilante photographer.
True.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. That's just a...
But that's also the thing, I think, is, you know, we all wear masks.
That's right. Right?
But people wearing masks wear masks more so.
That's true.
And often they're emboldened by, you know, by not being themselves.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's kind of what happens, is she was like, look, I'm not going to go there as me and go take a photo of this guy. He might attack me or whatever. But who is going to risk attacking somebody in a gorilla suit? Imagine what could be in there. It could be a big strong man. It could be an actual gorilla.
Yeah. Someone could have put a gorilla in a gorilla suit and, you know, babushka doll style. And you just, there's no way of knowing who's going to be the one who unmasks a gorilla.
Yeah, that's right. And the craziest thing is even if you unmask that gorilla and it is a gorilla, what you might not know is that earlier that gorilla had actually also already eaten another gorilla suit.
Right.
And so inside him was more gorilla.
More gorilla suit.
Suit.
Yeah. Potentially even like that's just another guy in a gorilla suit.
That suit?
Yeah.
The one that's just a suit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's like a whole, you know, depending on how many layers down you go.
That's crazy. Imagine if you made a suit out of a guy in a gorilla suit. Like you're making just a gorilla suit.
Yeah.
But it's like what you're sewing together is like the flattened out parts of just a man in a gorilla suit.
I can hardly even imagine what that
is. Well, I guess you would have to, I guess this is how it would have to happen. Say somebody's in a gorilla suit. Maybe they get stuck in some road fixing accident or something like that. And it was like one of those big wheeler roller things, steamroller, rolls over the person. Unbelievably sad. It's the saddest thing that's ever happened, maybe.
Right.
You know, up there. And then an artist comes along, says, it says to the person's family or whatever, may I make a gorilla suit out of your loved one's remains that are still inside that suit?
As like a tribute.
As just a work of art.
Right.
And then he makes a gorilla suit out
and
of that.
And the family okay it?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, I mean, in order for this to be possible, and I am telling you the story in which it would be possible.
Okay, well, maybe even it was his dying wish.
Hopefully, yeah, as he's kind of like when the steamroller's up near his chest, assuming it went from the feet up, not from the head down.
And I mean, we're making a lot of assumptions. Yeah. So let's...
And then he feeds that suit to a gorilla and then puts that gorilla in a gorilla suit. And then
near where a sex pest is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess it is possible.
I think that is very possible. What she said here, which sort of clarifies what we're talking about, she said she didn't feel that she'd put herself in harm's way by trying to track the alleged offender from a distance in broad daylight, and the gorilla costume was the best way she could think of to conceal her identity. So this is from perthnow.com.au. I'll put all links to these stories in the show description if anyone wants to read them.
I got to say that person is a genius.
I thought it was great. What a legend.
Mm.
Very, very cool.
I reckon that's not the last we're going to hear of Kong Cop, but the woman behind Kong
Cop. It feels like you'd be like, yeah, this felt good.
Whatever industry she's in, she's going to excel.
Yeah, I feel that too. Do you have another story there, Alistair?
Well, this other story that I have is of these monkeys on this Caribbean island. Look, I may have already messed it up by just saying Caribbean island. But it's these, I'm just moving towards it, and I apologize. Well, I've just been spending so much time telling you about ways in which monkeys could be, sort of a gorilla suit could be made, that I didn't bother bringing it up. This is about vervet monkeys that live on this, I believe it's a Caribbean island, but I'm not 100% sure. And I think they were brought there when slaves were brought there to... It's a BBC video.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And these monkeys were brought there when slaves were brought there for the rum trade.
Right.
And then these monkeys developed a taste for alcohol. This is hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
But they developed a taste for alcohol by just eating the fermented sugar cane that was on the island, like that. And then this, the cycle continues. And alcoholism was kind of passed down through the generations.
Because the old world monkeys would have passed it on to the new world monkeys.
That's right. And then the even newer world monkeys.
Yeah. But all like in the ads, at least in Australia, that show the father going to the son, grab me a beer. The son goes to the fridge, grabs a beer. Then that son is now the dad going, hey, son, grab me a beer. So I imagine it'd be much like that.
Yeah.
Hey, son, monkey son, grab me some fermented sugar cane.
Sugar cane.
All right. Now, son, you know, and it's sort of like a babushka doll.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly like a babushka doll, I would say.
Do you think it's exactly like that?
Let me just think about it for a second. Yes, that is actually exactly like it. Yeah. And because, I mean, also, I mean, this is just an extra bonus detail, but sugarcane is actually quite woody.
Right.
And babushka dolls are also made of wood.
They're quite woody.
Yeah.
They're quite woody.
I guess it's very high in cellulose.
Oh, is that so?
Sorry, that's because I do a podcast about plants. No, I don't, but I'm thinking about doing it.
You should.
Plant mates.
Plant mates, that's fun.
Yeah?
Yeah, could do it all about different kinds of plants.
Yeah, or plants in films. And then later on, plants in sort of, you know, a little stories, like weird plant stories and things like that.
I think, you know, it could be all sorts of things. Oh, there would be crossover. Because a lot of primates live in trees.
That's true. And eat plants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
I could do a whole episode on plants that get eaten by animals.
That'd be real fun. I think that'd be really, well, that genuinely would be interesting. I should say I'm not a scientist. I'm an amateur primatologist. Mm. But you are some sort of a scientist.
No, I'm an ex-engineer.
Yeah.
So that's not quite science.
But basically.
But it's the application of science.
Yeah.
And playing an engineer in my comedy festival show, Magma.
Oh, wow.
That I'm doing with Andy.
Are you doing
Matthews
another plug?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I may as well.
Yeah.
I'm doing a show called Magma with Andy Matthews from Two in the Think Tank, who's got the other podcast that I do.
You got the efficiency of an engineer, the way you get your plugs in.
The reason why I thought of that is because I started going into the kind of spiel I would go into in the show.
Great. Well, the comedy festival is coming up, I think, in about a week and a half it kicks off. So people should definitely go along and see your show, Magma.
I've heard wonderful things about my show.
Hey, and while you're there, why not see Bone Dry, my show? It's at the Chinese Museum, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock on Sundays. You can find out details at matthewcomedy.com/gigs. Use the code Do Go On, or maybe Primates as well. I don't know which.
Wow.
Let's try them both.
I have seen previews of this show, and I feel nothing but good things. It is excellent, and I want you to see it, because to not see it is to rob yourself of joy.
Yeah.
Pure joy. Uncut. Matt, I don't know where he got his hands on this stuff.
Yeah.
I think they're bringing it in subs from South America.
Yeah, I've heard some people are coming in, taking it and cutting it up with sort of like diluted joy.
Yeah.
They're watering it down, and it's still quite a good time.
To be honest, we've taken some of that stuff and we've put it in our show.
Yeah, Magma, which is I've also seen the preview of, and it is one of the best works of.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Art that I've ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I think that yours is the greatest event in human history.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's lowbrow, isn't it? Big time event. It's like pay-per-view.
No.
It's like watching a grudge match or something.
No.
Whereas yours is like watching Leonardo da Vinci play a violin.
No, yours is like Tiananmen Square. You know, it's memorable and it's something that will change the world for either the good or the bad.
But it is also like going to scar you for life.
Possibly for the bad, because your life will be a constant downhill slope from that point on.
Okay.
But downhill slopes, a lot of people go to the snow or in the winter to...
Yeah.
And that could be
the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Imagine that. The rest of your life could be downhill skiing.
Yeah.
That's fun when you put it like that. What were we talking about again?
I was talking about these monkeys who now that this island in the Caribbean is, which I'm assuming is in the Caribbean. I think it is.
The Caribbean island, I reckon it would be.
Yeah. It's now a more touristy island, but you've still got these monkeys. These verver, was it? What are they called? You ever heard that
vervet
name?
Vervet monkeys, yeah.
Yeah, vervet.
They're apparently native to Africa.
That's right, and that's why they came there in the slave boats. That's what I was saying earlier.
Oh, right. Wow.
And so that's what they've been there for a long time. Anyway, so these monkeys now just steal alcohol from people resting on the beaches, people who are at bars. They're real cheeky, you know, as monkeys can be, right? But what was interesting is when they studied these monkeys, they noticed that the percentages of, like, there's some monkeys there that are teetotalers, right? And there's some that are like, I got to get every last drop of this booze. There's others that are like, you know, like a little bit. There's some, yeah, the teetotalers, they will avoid the alcohol and they'll go steal soft drink.
Right.
You know, and then.
So they want a sugar hit.
Yeah. They still like a drink. They still like something nice. Yeah. You know, it's still like a treat. Anyway, but what was interesting was that they were saying that there's the percentage of teetotalers in this populace of monkeys is about the same as what we have in our populace.
Right.
Which the conclusion that they're coming to, or what they're alluding to, is that potentially whether or not we like drink or want to, you know, we a lot of people will think that they're superior because they choose to not drink, whatever. But really, it's probably just encoded in their DNA.
Right.
And then you've added this kind of proudness, but really, you know, to yourself.
Is this about me and my show Bone Dry, which is about how I stopped drinking for about 9 months last year?
Well, I don't think that's the same, because I think you desperately love to drink.
I desperately love makes it sound. I think if I desperately loved it, I wouldn't have chosen.
Well, no, but I think you
look at me sounding proud again.
I know, but I wasn't even saying that about you, because I think you're like me in that there's a part of yourself that's like good sense. This is a carcinogen of one of the highest orders, and it also is one of the most destructive liquids in society. Maybe I should go easy on it that I can not die.
Yeah, I think that's smart. Plus, it saves you money by not drinking.
Sure.
Saves you hangovers. There's a lot of upsides, but geez, a craft beer or a nice scotch, bottle of wine.
Or drinking heavily, or just drinking heavily on anything.
Any of those things can be really nice experiences. Drink responsibly.
Drink responsibly, though.
If there are any vervet monkeys
this
listening.
This is something I've just said, on my, I think about a lot, though, is that when you're not drinking, which I'm mostly doing now, I'm not drinking, you remember that as soon as you have a drink, and then you remember you have, like, let's say you have 10 minutes without having a drink, and then you start to feel that descent where you start feeling awful. Feel so awful that if you were sober, in order to feel that awful, you would have to be really sick. But that's just a normal part of having a night out.
It is, yeah, it is
a good night out.
Good weird thing we do choose to do. But you're saying that the vervet monkeys kind of give us permission to drink. In a way, they're saying it's out of our hands.
No, but I'm saying, look, you and I are
making that we a conscious may as well decision. Just do it.
No. I'm just saying that the vervet monkeys are showing us that maybe all these desires, it's not some part of your personality or whatever. It's it's encoded in your DNA.
I've just found this line on the vervet monkeys Wikipedia page. It says, they've been noted for having human-like characteristics such as hypertension, anxiety, and social independent alcohol use. So it's not just the alcohol use, also anxiety issues and
hypertension.
Hypertension. Yeah. Do you know what that means as a scientist?
It feels like another anxiety type thing, but I don't know exactly what it is.
It's a long-term medical condition in which the blood pressure in the arteries is persistently elevated.
Yeah, right.
Wow, that does not sound pleasant.
No.
But yeah, they're good looking monkeys. I reckon they're real cool looking monkeys.
Yeah.
I like the name Vervet Monkey as well.
Yeah, you know what makes me think of? A music act. Does it make you think of any music acts?
Vervet Monkey.
I mean, I wasn't.
The Verve?
I guess there's the Verve. I guess there's also the Vervet Underground.
Okay.
I mean, that's not what it is. But it keep making me think of Vetiver.
Vetiver.
You ever listen to any Vetiver?
I haven't heard of Vetiver.
Yeah.
All right, I'll check that out. That reminds me, I've got to get a Spotify primate playlist going where I'll take suggestions from guests and listeners. I'll aim to put it out with this episode.
Mm.
You've given me a couple of suggestions for it in the past.
I think I had given you Tom Waits.
That's right, yes.
Maybe, is it God's Away on Business or something like that?
It's not that, but it's something like
it was
that.
It was from that same album because he goes, the more that the monkey don't climb.
Misery is the river of the world.
Yeah, misery is the river of the road. There you go.
Yes. Yeah, great. Anyway, I keep forgetting to do that, but I'll try and do that this week. Put a link in the show notes if people want to tweet me suggestions. Was that the end of your Vervet Monkey story? You started apologizing before. This is an apology-free zone.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, sorry. I should have warned you up the top.
I mean, if I had known, I wouldn't have done it.
Did you know this about Vervet Monkeys? They've got where was this line? They've only got 4 confirmed predators. So there might be others that are unconfirmed. But 4 confirmed predators: leopards, eagles, pythons, and baboons.
Oh, my God.
People are coming at you from every angle. Eagles from above. You got big cats on the ground. Pythons slithering at you. And then baboons are like, you know, cousins of yours.
I think the baboons is the one I'm the most scared of. Because you know that they can go exactly everywhere you go.
Yeah.
You know, unless you can just find like a tiny nook. I'm assuming they're just slightly smaller than baboons.
Yeah, I think they're a fair bit smaller than baboons.
I think I might prefer saying baboons.
Baboons.
But, I mean, I love when people say baboons.
Baboons.
I think because the bees are so close to each other.
Baboons.
They're basically as close to each other as they can be without touching.
Right.
You know, baboons.
Baboons.
Baboons. I mean, there's probably 3 bees in there, isn't there?
Yeah, there's the 3 bees of primatology.
Yeah.
And that's how I remember
baboon?
That.
Baboon?
Yep. Well, the way I was taught, I was self-taught admittedly, but the way I was taught is baboons, baboons, baboons.
Oh,
the
3
Bs of primatology.
They're the locations of primatology.
Has anyone ever done, this is off topic, but I just saw, I have never watched this, what's this classic Alec Baldwin film where he's a salesman guy? I just saw the clip of it recently.
Yeah.
Glenn Ross. And he goes, A, B, C, A, always, B, B, C,
closing. Yeah.
Has anyone ever done it? Like, this feels like a tweet. I should Google it, but it goes, A, always, B, B, C, cucking. Is that funny?
Look, I'm having a good time.
This is what I brought you in here to workshop a couple of tweets.
Man, I would love to. A lot of the time your tweets are just like, hey, I'm thinking about doing a tweet.
Yeah, it's just one yeah. almost running joke that I've got.
Look, you have a very meta feed.
I can't help it. Yeah, it's all I got. I don't know. I just always found that on Twitter, the things that got more response were me fucking with it rather than actually sincerely having a go.
So really, you know, these things are being fed through some evolutionary process. You
right.
know? Because, you know, you've tried jokes that didn't go good, but you've tried meta and that go good. So that one survives. Your jokes right. are dying off. You know?
That makes sense.
They're becoming the apex like creature species in this environment, which is the Matt Stewart Twitter feed.
I've just Googled always be cucking and it comes up a lot.
Yeah? Wow.
I've not had an original thought in quite a while.
Well, you've had an original one that, you know, it was original within the mind of Matt Stewart, but the world has thought about it.
Always be cucking.
I once came up with the, without being taught it, I came up with Pythagoras' theorem.
Really?
I think so.
Wow.
I can't remember now exactly. I think there might have been something different, but.
That's ABC again, right?
It is ABC again.
Yeah. A, always, B, C.
Hypotenuse.
I don't know how many more stories we should do. I've got this one here. It's off livescience.com. You know,
I think this feels like a good one to wrap up without even knowing what it is.
Well, all right. This was on.
It feels like it's going to be big.
Let's see if I have anything better to finish with.
Oh no.
What's this one? Sexy monkey. In this story, the author's mother worked at the Denver Zoo, where she earned a very special admirer, Bungie the spider monkey. Bungie attached himself to different workers in different ways. And the author's mother ultimately became the source of his monkey erections. Oh, I don't know if I wish I started this one. He writes, anytime my mum walked by, Bungie was suddenly at full salute. Maybe it was her red hair. When they moved Bungie back in with the other spider monkeys in the outdoor exhibit, he'd still show his affection, sticking his lanky arms in the air and running towards her at half mast every time she passed. That's from a listicle on HTML.com titled 10 Hilarious Stories Involving Monkeys.
Wow. I mean, it's, yeah. It feels like that's not entirely scientific, you know?
Yeah.
You know, there's probably...
red hair on a human.
Is that even possible?
Well, I just mean, like, I don't know. I guess sometimes people are attracted to, aroused by different species, but that feels like a pretty rare thing. But I guess, you know, maybe this is one of those rare cases.
You know, but maybe you and I live in a sheltered world.
True.
A sheltered world in which people don't feel attracted to other species.
That's true. We live in the Melbourne bubble. You don't hear a lot of that.
Yeah. But also, like, how often are you exposed to other species?
That's true.
You know, a lot of the time you're exposed to one other species and then only one member of that species. So it's hard to get, let's say, an idea for how attractive your schnauzer is.
Right.
You know?
We're talking dogs.
Well, now it's a dog. I'm just saying, like, I don't feel attracted to dogs or black labs or anything like that.
Okay.
Because my parents own a lot of black labs.
Okay, I was going to say, you've been very specific.
I know.
Are you ruling some out? That's the ones you're not ruling out? And are they the ones we're wondering
about?
And
so, like, I've probably seen 3 to 6 black labs in my life, but
Small sample size.
It's still quite a small sample size to really get an idea for what is an attractive one. I think you can start getting an idea for what a really unattractive one is.
Yeah.
But it's hard, I think, to really...
Maybe like a monkey-faced black lab?
Maybe, yeah. I think that could tip it either way.
Okay.
Because it brings it closer to human.
Yeah.
But then it also, if what you like is black labs, it takes it way further away from black labs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
But what I don't like is not black labs. I'm just trying to make that clear.
Yeah.
What I like is Simian Gibbons.
Okay. It's starting to sound like you like black labs.
No, I don't. You know what? I shouldn't have brought it up.
We normally finish the show by giving a banana score out of a bunch of bananas, talking about the piece of media that we just consumed.
Sure.
I don't know how we can do that today.
Well, I'll come back one day and we'll do Outbreak together.
That'd be great.
And then I can do it about that. But with this, I mean, I guess this is an anthology show.
Yeah.
Should we give it like a, you know, just a bananas on how many, how good an anthology show it was?
Or how bananas the stories were today.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I do like how you Canadians say bananas.
Yeah, no, sure. It's bananas.
That is bananas. Because you can't say, oh, that's bananas. I guess you can, and I just did. But
yeah, that is, but it doesn't have the same... No. It doesn't make you think that it's really wild.
Yeah, shit is bananas.
This shit is bananas.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, I was expecting some maybe more banana stories.
I think we didn't go as bananas as we could have.
We could take it up a notch next summer.
Yeah.
There's room to grow.
Yeah, I think maybe we need to go on maybe a deeper dive.
Yeah.
You know?
I think with the help of the listeners. Maybe if you tweet at myself via PrimatesPod, at PrimatesPod on Twitter, and Alistair at AlistairTB, I think is your Twitter handle, with the hashtag, what's a nice succinct hashtag they could use to give us some stories?
Bananas stories.
Great. Yeah. So tag us in and give us bananas stories, and we'll have a second go when we've collated enough for a second anthology.
Sure. And you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be with me. If you're with somebody and you just have a bunch of stories from your delightful listeners, non-lizard listeners.
Yeah. Well, they're gone.
Yeah, great. Well, I mean, we thought maybe they came back with that other thing that we talked about
that's
earlier.
That's true.
Yeah. So
it'd be just like them.
Yeah. You know, and I'm happy, you know, I'm happy for, you know, not to not be the only person who does these anthology shows.
All right. I'm starting to feel like you're trying to, you know, lizard your way out of this.
No, I absolutely want to come back. But, you know, we also have to do that Outbreak episode.
That's true. You know? I mean, they're piling up. We also have to do the MVP3.
Oh, yeah, of course. You see, so.
You got a backlog working up here.
Now it starts to feel like work.
Yeah. I mean, I'll need them on my desk by Monday.
And then I will get them.
And we also give a DNA, normally a DNA percentage.
Mm.
Do you want to maybe give who was your favorite story today? Who was your favorite primate in a story?
I mean, if you look up those vervet monkeys, yeah, you do get to see drunk monkeys.
Okay. Now, how much is a percentage? Because Andy Matthews, good friend of yours and mine and your co-host on mm-hmm. the Think Tank, he is a scientist, and he said on one of the early episodes that chimps and humans share 98% DNA.
Yeah.
Now, how much of yourself do you see in those vervet monkeys, personality-wise, physically, whatever, as a percentage?
I would say I see 100%
of 100%.
Myself.
Yeah. It's like looking in a mirror.
It's like, well, it's like seeing my body inside the body of a vervet monkey, right, but like I'm wearing it as a suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, 100%.
Yeah.
No one's done 100% yet. I think we just clocked that segment, whatever that was, but I'd say, yeah, the vervet monkey does, it sounds like they are humans, right? Maybe I see, I'm going to say I see 72%.
Really?
Because, yeah, I think part of me is very inhuman.
Yeah. Well, less
human than a vervet monkey.
Yeah, right. I see myself as a little bit subhuman.
Okay.
Yeah. A little bit. Which is probably why I'm 100% vervet monkey.
Right, because they are also a little subhuman.
Yeah.
That's sort of like babushka dolls.
Yeah, really. I guess in a way.
And the way we finish the show is thanking a few Patreon supporters.
Sure.
The way you can support this show is by going to patreon.com/dogoonpod. And you'd be supporting this show as well as the Do Go On podcast and Dave Warnicki's Book Cheat podcast. What Do Go On is a podcast about a different topic each week where me, Dave, and Jess Perkins take it in turns to do a report on a different topic. We've done heaps of different topics in the past, including Andre the Giant and the Chernobyl disaster and Bigfoot. And we've done one about a lizard man. I mean, it's starting to sound like they're all about animal humans, but
no, but they're not. You've also done things about the Wiggles.
The Wiggles,
you
that's
did things
right.
about that bomb, like that. Oh, that lady who was. Oh no, wait! Some bomb threat.
The collar bomb heist.
Yeah, collar bomb heist.
We've done the collar bomb. Yeah, done a lot of disasters, serial killers, Jack the Ripper. Mm. We've also done happy stories like Elton John's life.
And what's that one? Marvel Universe with Nick Mason.
We've done a bunch of Marvel related things. We did an episode about the history of Batman. Pretty much anything. But anyway, you can check that out. It's called Do Go On. But if you want to support this show and those, one of the rewards is I'll read out some of our supporters' names at the end of the episode and tell you what their favorite primates are. And Alistair, I'd love to hear your opinions on some of these.
Great.
Firstly, Nate Peterson. He says, "My favorite primate is Curious George. Why, you ask? Thanks for asking, I say. He qualifies as a primate for primates. He features in a book for Book Cheat, which is Dave Warnicki's podcast, and one could argue that his curiosity would not go amiss in the Do Go On studio. He's the triple threat. What do I win?" Nate, you've given me a lot there.
Absolutely.
Curious George, I don't know anything about Curious George, apart from what I just read then.
Is he the guy who hangs out with the man in yellow? I guess if you don't know anything about it, then...
That does sound like it could be true. Is there something that Jack Johnson wrote was it Jack Johnson or Eddie Vedder did a soundtrack for it? Maybe?
Oh, no, I don't know. I know there's a kids show called Curious George, and that could be it. But if he did a book cheat about it, then maybe that isn't it.
Yeah. Well, this is fascinating. Yeah. But anyway, it could be a future episode. Al, do you have any room to add to the slate of potential podcast topics?
Absolutely can. But maybe he's talking about Mighty Joe Young.
Mighty Joe Young. We've already done that.
Right.
He was a pretty big gorilla.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, very fascinating movie.
Mm.
I'd also love to thank David Malofsky. Wait, let me have another go at that. David Malofsky. He's from A Place to Hang Your Cat, which is another podcast and website based in the UK. Met him when we toured over there. A lovely fella. And he says, "I like spider monkeys because they sound like they should be superheroes." He's bloody obsessed with superheroes, this guy, to be honest.
I have a feeling he probably listens to the Weekly Planet.
And then he goes on to say, spider monkey does whatever a spider monkey does. Bracket. Sneaky Simpsons reference for the win.
I would love it to see a spider monkey get bitten by an actual radioactive spider. Spider monkey.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I think in Enter the Spider-Verse, that big Spider-Man movie from last year.
There's the pig.
The pig. And
Spider-Pig.
And he was, I'm pretty sure, it was a spider that was bitten by a radioactive pig is like its origin story or something. Yeah, there was some sort of funny flip of it, which is good fun.
Yeah.
And certainly me getting that wrong would be very annoying to someone like David Malofsky. So I do apologize if I bugger that up. I'd also love to thank Zeke, who says, my favorite primates are the Galadas. They're cool. They look like lions. They are a matriarchal society, and they always look like they're wearing a faux fur bolero, which looks great on everyone.
And so far, that's my favorite. That's my favorite primate so far they've mentioned.
I haven't even heard of this one. Galadas. Oh, wow. Hello.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Oh, that is a beautiful
one. I've never heard of that. That's fantastic.
Are they those?
Holy moly.
Are they a grazing ape?
That could be a grazing.
I know. I remember watching one at David Attenborough thing once, and there was just these like ones that just sit on the grass and just graze, and they just walk around in herds like that, like they're cows.
Right. It's a mountain baboon.
I think these ones are mountain ones.
Wow. Okay. They have a long and dense grayish fur. What's going to help me out here? Anyway,
look,
you look that up. I'll say, or not. I mean, people can do that in their own time if they want to. And finally, I'd love to thank so much for that, Zeke. That was a great one to bring to my attention. I had not heard of them. And finally, Dion Evans. He says, hi, Matt. My favorite primate is a squirrel monkey. I used to work in a zoo, and they were the most friendly animals there and used to interact with all the guests, and they spend 99% of their lives in trees. Well, I don't think I've heard of them either. Squirrel monkeys. It's just been a whole heap of learning in this episode. Squirrel monkeys. Oh, they're very cute too. Fantastic suggestions. Have a look at this, guys.
Look at those eyes. That is a classic monkey. I love those.
Yeah, that's great. I love that yellow fur. And they're real. Yeah, that's a beautiful primate. Well done. Do you have anything to add on the Galadas there?
I apologize that I...
This is an apology-free zone.
I know, but I want you to know that it doesn't mean I'm sorry when I apologize here. This is a Canadian apology that it's just... Right. It's a multi-purpose thing for, you know, for any social interaction.
Great.
You start with an apology.
You work your way back from there. Yeah. It's kind of like a babushka doll.
Yeah, I guess in many ways.
So that brings us to the end of the episode. Alistair, where can people find you? I guess the Shusher podcast is one.
The Shusher Guided Meditations, you can find it by typing in Shusher Guided Meditations.
There'll be a link to that in the show description here.
And I believe there'll be an episode starting after this.
Yes, so I think we'll be able to introduce that on the way out.
And you can find me too in the Think Tank. That's this podcast where we kind of come up with sketch ideas, me and Andy Matthews. And you can find me at Alistair TB on Twitter.
Great. There'll be links to all that in the description. I've been on Two in the Think Tank a few times. So much fun. Two of my absolute comedy heroes. Feels like a real thrill to be able to have you on my podcast here, Alistair Trombley-Birchall.
Matthew, you are one of my comedy heroes, and it's been one of the greatest things having you on our podcast.
That's ridiculous.
Thank you for having us on this wonderful new thing you do here. I know I say new, but anything under 5 years is new to me.
It's brand new, yeah. I think quite generally, I would not do comedy if it wasn't for you.
That's very nice. Thank you very much. I wouldn't continue if it wasn't for you.
Now, people can find Primates at Primates Pod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And also at primatespod@gmail.com is the email address if you want to get in contact with me. There's also a link in the description where you can suggest topics. And I'll start shouting out to people who do suggest those topics. I've noticed that we've done topics in the past and I didn't bloody... give them thanks because I didn't realize, but I'm going to be keeping my eyes on that a little bit more.
Sure.
If you have a chance, please give us a 5-star review. Apparently that helps with visibility. And while you're there, why not give Shusher Guided Meditations a 5-star review as well? Because it is a brand new podcast.
It's brand new. It's in the first 8 weeks still. So that is when it really has an impact.
Al's all about algorithms. They call him, I think the A in Alistair is short for algorithms.
The AL is for algorithms. Yeah, yeah.
Right, great. Alistair George, that's the ALG.
Yeah.
In algorithms.
That's Alistair George William Charlie Birchall.
Now, we always finish the show with a primate-related sign-off.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight or today or whenever people are listening, I'd love it if you could double the sign-off as a primate sign-off, but also a primate-related introduction to a little snippet of Shusher Guided Meditations. And anyway, thanks so much for joining us.
And thank you so much for having me.
And as we always say on Primates Podcast.
Thank you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
And now an episode of Shusher Guided Meditations.
Hello and welcome to Shusher Guided Meditations. I'm your Shusher for today, Alistair Trombley Birchall. Now, before we begin, I want you to take a long, deep breath in. And I want you to think about the words Pizza River. What do you see when I say the words Pizza River? Do you see a river that flows through a small town where the local people might throw their Italian delicacies into? Possibly as part of some yearly tradition. Or do you see a river where slices of pizza flow instead of water? In the place of tiny droplets or triangles with pizza toppings moving with freedom and fluidity over the rocks and across the sand. At a higher rate after rain. Or maybe you see your river with its river base made of pizza crust. And the cheese and toppings flow in place of water. How does that make you feel? Watching those toppings slide across that crust, like when a delivery boy tilts a pizza box at too acute an angle. Are there any fish in this river? What kind of fish live in your pizza river? Are they anchovies? Or do you have a different species of fish? Maybe flounder? Maybe barracuda? Maybe cod? If it is anchovies, are they alive? Or are they preserved and salty? Or maybe there's another kind of fish. A fish that evolved to live in a pizza river. How would that fish be different to other fish? Would it have eyes? Would it need to see when it swims through molten cheese? Or would it, like a shark, be aided by some electrosensors? Would its breathing be different? Would there be sufficient oxygen in pizza cheese and the assorted toppings for a standard fish to be able to breathe? Or would nature come up with a new solution for breathing in cheese? Where do you picture this river ending? Does it go all the way to the ocean? What does that look like at that river mouth where the Pizza River flows into the ocean? Does the cheese and pepperoni build up in a sort of pizza bank? Or does it flow into the ocean, sort of slowly dissipate? Maybe a frenzy of sea life come and feast on it. Do local people use the river for tourism in their local town? How many people does it bring in during the peak period? What magnitude of the town's population does it multiply by during the busy summertime? Or does it get more popular during the winter? Do you picture that this topping and cheese participates in the regular water cycle? Where does the river begin? Does the cheese and mushroom and little balls of anonymous meat, do they evaporate and go into clouds? Later, precipitate down, flow into the ground, and then eventually back into the Pizza River. Or do you picture the river flowing by just pizza chefs along the way, throwing pizza ingredients into the river? Or maybe the river starts at the top of a mountain where there's an iceberg of frozen pizza. And slowly but surely, little drops of cheese and droplets of pizza sauce run down the mountain and into the river, flowing all the way to the ocean. In what way is this frozen pizza iceberg going to be affected by climate change? And will a certain degree temperature change affect the livelihoods of the small towns whose economies depend on the tourism brought in by the Pizza River? Now I want you to breathe out. And from the count of five, slowly come out of your relaxed state. 5. You're starting to wake. 4. You can feel your eyelids lifting again. 3. You're remembering that you can support this podcast on iTunes by leaving a review, or on patreon.com/shushergm. 2. You're basically awake, just waiting for me to finish the last number, and 1. And thank you for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.